Well, it's certainly good to be back together again. Last time we talked about the first side of the second triad, that is the side of understanding, and we used the imagery and the power of illusion to touch second body. Never doubt that the imagination is the central tool in becoming a real adept. It is absolutely essential that we understand that on one side are the facts, on the other side is the truth, and between the two is understanding. So now we're going to be talking about the second side of the second triad today. This side is the side of knowledge of the second triad, the triad of the mind. And we're going to be doing a very surprising thing. We're going to be using an image from August of 2001 from Chil Bolton. We'll be talking a little bit about the Chil Bolton image, the famous one that was a pastiche or a response to our 1974 Arecibo image that we sent out on that spacecraft, the Pioneer spacecraft. And the visitors returned to us in August of 2001 with an image responding and telling us a little bit about themselves. But off in the field, there was something else. There was a portrait of a face, a seemingly human face, or a human-like face, haunting and powerful, devised in the grass of the field with such extraordinary expertise that it was beyond question that it was something done by someone with very special skills. Now you see this image sitting here beside this this particular meditation. We're going to be using the image to come into contact with someone, because there is somebody there. This is not a specific person in the same sense that you and I are specific, isolated individuals. This is another kind of person, someone who looks just like us, who could walk the streets, but is vividly alive in a different way. That is to say, this is someone with fully evolved second body. This is someone who is here now in the room, who is spread across all universes and is at once in your presence if you wish to be in theirs. This person is alive, will know that you are coming into contact with them, is waiting for you, and already knows and has known, perhaps since the beginning of time, that you would make the journey that you're going to make today. Now, before we go on and we do the actual exercise that is involved in making contact with this individual, we're going to talk a little bit more about triads. The great philosopher Pascal said, we understand more than we know. And this is so very true. The long struggle that's involved with Dreamland, this journey that we're on Dreamland to understand the truth about the human spirit and the human past, and to uncover what we actually know, is a hard, difficult journey, because we all are certain that there's something there, but every time we look at it, it seems it retreats a little bit farther into the shadows. This is because knowledge unfolds in darkness. Last time we talked about Persephone's journey into the underworld. That underworld is the world of knowledge. It's a dangerous, dark place. And if you think it's not dangerous, well, guess where the atomic bomb came from? It's dangerous down there, all right. And another thing that's down there is our facts about our own life experience, things that we have perhaps turned away from, which we are pleased to call our sins, that we don't want to look at. But when you are in the dark, on the dark side, and in the dark journey of knowledge, that remarkable journey through the underground caves at Ephesus in Greece, during your initiation there, that happened so many thousands of years ago to you, and is happening now. When they spoke to you then, they said that this event would never leave you, that it would always be with you. And indeed, everyone who has gotten this far in this meditation process was at Ephesus. If you're a dipper and you just dipped into this one meditation, then this doesn't matter to you. But if you're not a dipper, if you started from the beginning of this and have worked your ways through so far, then remember, you were at Ephesus. You did go through that initiation. And this is a return to Ephesus, to this journey. This is something that was implanted in your soul thousands of years ago and now is going to re-emerge. And who did you see at Ephesus in the dark final room when you thought you had come to death? That's right. You saw the figure who ended up in the crop circle in Chilbolton in August of 2001. Surprised? Well, it's part of being an adept. You end up balancing, and when you do get into balance, you're in balance because things are in greater focus. Okay, now, let's look at the image. Click on the image while you're listening and look at the larger image. And we're going to go through an exercise while looking at the larger image. What we're going to do is a familiar exercise. And keep your eyes on the image and do this. Take your attention with your eyes still on the image down into your solar plexus, down deep into your body. There's very little sensation coming from down there, but that's okay. It doesn't matter, because what we're now going to do is, even though our eyes are still on the image, we're not thinking about the image anymore, okay? We're concentrating everything on our attention on the physical sensation of the body. We are in our body. So now let's spread out from the solar plexus, going down into both legs, feeling them both at the same time. Our eyes are on the image, but we're not thinking about the image. Who is it, etc., etc., etc.? Is she talking to me? Blah, 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 blah. Forget it. We are in our legs and in our feet and in the sensation of our legs and our feet. And now we leave that. And we go to our arms. We are in the sensation of our arms and hands. And we feel our arms and hands. We keep our eyes open, looking at the image. Now we go down to the base of the spine, to the coccyx. And we feel our way up the back, very slowly and carefully. Because there's not much sensation there. There aren't many nerves. We go up and up and up our back and into the head and the face and the chest and down the neck and the chest and back to the solar plexus. And now we take a deep breath and let it out, still with our eyes open, still looking at the face. We sense our whole body. We let that sensation ride. Think nothing. Simply sense. I'll be back to you in a few seconds. And if your mind takes you away, then go back to sensation. Now you and I and everyone else who's doing this are going to be quiet together. And remember, no matter when you do this, we are always doing it together. In this context, there is no time. So go to your body. Keep your eyes on that face. Be quiet. Sense yourself. Many of you have come back to your mind, and that's fine. Now, I want to remind you, we're going to do it again. We're going to go to our bodies, and now we're going to spend a full 30 seconds in silence together, in our bodies, just with our eyes on the image, not thinking about it, not thinking anything. And every time your mind starts, then take it back to your body. Remember, the work itself of going back to the body is the whole point. If you didn't have a mind, you couldn't grow it because it couldn't take you. There could be no friction within you. Okay, go back to your sensation. Remember your feet, your hands, your face, all of it. Take a deep breath, let it out, sense yourself, watch the face for 30 seconds. I'll be back. Okay, we're back. And now let's go back into our minds and understand that this particular exercise has been waiting to be done for quite a while. It's a signal. The other side of this knows you are doing this. It is as if you are shining a light into the sky. I remember, I guess it was Dr. Greer who used to shine flashlights into the sky and to get the visitors to show up. Well, this is a much more vital flashlight that you are shining into this particular sky by looking at this image. It is a light that can be seen by those who know how to see such light, and there's not much of it shining up from this earth. Not much at all, but you are shining when you do this. You very definitely are. Okay, now how more can we do this? Let me explain a little bit about this face. You can relate to it. You can take the face into your mind and imagination and put it with the faces of those you love. And you do this in this way. You conjure up the faces of the people you love the most and what they look like to you. And then you take this face and you include it among the faces of those you love. Now, you can't possibly love this person because you don't know the person. Maybe they're not lovable. Who knows? Well, they are lovable, I can assure you. But nevertheless, you can't have that emotional reaction, but you can put the face in this place. And this is the way in which you begin a process of communication with this individual. And the individual will see themselves in the place of love, in your being, and will respond to you in the appropriate way. In other words, this individual can see what you're doing and can see what you want. You want relationship. You want relationship that is like your relationship to those you love. And this individual will respond to you in that way. If you wish to put the individual among the faces of those you hate, then you'll have a frightening experience with this individual. And sometimes people who work with this sort of thing do that quite intentionally. I have done it intentionally because all of this is inner work. And sometimes it's important to do dark inner work in order to learn more about yourself. But let's start with putting it in the position of love. And let the face remain there. Come back from time to time to the sight and look at the face just to renew yourself. Look at the face and sense your body without your mind being present. Then take the face and put the image of the face in among the images of those you love. This is a very high form of work. It's something that is not often done or known about on the earth at all, but it is extremely powerful. It is effective, and this has been given. This individual is prepared to work in this way. That's why we have this face. So remember, those of you who can, or use your imagination, read a little bit about ephesis if you don't remember anything about it, and remember all things also. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong about you. Maybe you were never at ephesis, although I do think you were, and I think that probably everybody who's listening will have various things happen to them over the next few days and weeks, synchronicities that will remind you of the truth of this, that you indeed were there, and that this long journey you've taken from that moment of discovery deep in the ground beneath that objective and sacred place of knowledge that is now long since ruined, that long journey from there to here has reconnected you with yourself in a very profound way. And this extraordinary individual awaits you in and out of time.